And then he says, move. She says, no. He says, move. She says, no. Bitch, move. She moves. And then he looks at the cabinet. He walks to the cabinet. He close to the cabinet. Now he's opening the cabinet. Now pause the movie, cause what I'm about to say to y'all is so damn twisted. Not only is there a man in his cabinet, but the man is a midget.
Hey, hi, hello. Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast.
Hey, hi.
Hey, hey. I'm always concerned about not starting a video with, hey guys, what's up guys? Because, like, I've become so self-conscious of that because so many YouTubers start videos that way. So,
You have to be different.
Yeah, I have to. This is, like, I demand it of myself. And for anybody who's watching or listening to this for the first time, myself is Zach Hughes, the black dude with social media issues. I have social media anxiety disorder. I'm sure that
you can't,
things
sometimes. You can't live without it. You're always constantly checking your Facebook and Twitter.
Not necessarily that, but... like, I have anxiety surrounding social media. I get on it, and I worry about what people think, and then I get nervous if I don't get enough likes or comments or retweets, you know.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You shouldn't care about what people think.
Okay? You're right, and I'm sure that many... therapeutic professionals would agree with you, but
it's on the hashtag.
Yeah. To introduce you to my co-host, this is writer, movie fan, wrestling fan, Tony Hoffman.
Hello. Hello. See, I didn't say hi, guys. I said hello.
Good. Hello. 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 All right,
salutations.
How's your week been, Tony Hoffman?
It's been pretty good. Weather, it's great. It's finally feels like it's summer in the city. Not a lot of TV. It's pretty much that time of the year where
it slows down.
All the shows are gone. Yeah. And in terms of like new movies, which we'll get to, like it was pretty much if you are gonna go to the movies, go see Wonder Woman again. Which,
yeah,
I believe you did.
Yeah, I finally saw
the
it.
The first time.
Yeah, I saw it again for the first time.
How was the crowd?
It was still pretty crowded in there.
On your cheap ass Tuesday, I assume.
I don't think that's the official name of it, but yes.
Okay, Tuesday. I'm sorry.
It's a little bit more accurate. Yeah, the crowd was still pretty good. I actually had to sit in the bottom row of the theater. I mean, it wasn't too bad. Like the back of the floor seats. So that's my backup option if the very back of the theater is occupied. So, the crowd was, it was pretty good, and I enjoyed the movie.
Nice. What was your like what were the parts of the movie that the audience reacted to?
I think it was pretty much the typical places, like the big fights, those big set pieces. I think people responded to. I was more focused on my own reaction, and it's funny, some of the stuff that stood out more to me, as far as my enjoyment is concerned, was like some of the non-like fighting moments, just like where you get to know who Diana is. Like, obviously.
The ice cream and baby stuff.
Yeah. Cause it was funny cause it was just like, on the surface, you would see that scene where she's like, oh, a baby. You could think that's like a feminine moment or whatever, but it's like she's literally never seen a baby before. So it's interesting for that reason. And she was the only child on the island, which is
Mascara.
Yeah, so that leads you into knowing that there's something special about her that you find out later in the movie, that she is the God Killer. She had it inside her all along. Sword was just a prop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I wasn't a big, like, that whole reveal at the end, like who Ares was.
Yeah, that was like the entire ending of the big fight and all that stuff in the third act was not really necessary.
It's like your typical superhero movie.
Yeah, it like a lot of movies fall into that trap of just having like, okay, we gotta spend that CG budget somewhere.
Like if you watch the movie again, like all of the stuff involving the German bad guy and like Dr. Poison, like all of that stuff, it's that much more pointless and inconsequential.
And it's so weird that moment.
All the time we spent with them.
Yeah, the time we spent with them, and then they were just such like cartoonish villains because. The moment where they throw the mask into the room where all these, they're gassing all these Nazi, like, generals or whatever. And he throws the one mask in there. And she's like.
And they turn and laugh.
Yeah, it's like, the mask won't help. You're like, but they don't know that. It's like, what? What was that? It was like straight out of a cartoon or something. Like, Boris and Natasha or something. Like, I enjoyed that existed and I thought it was funny, but
I mean
it didn't belong in this movie.
No, exactly.
Like I'm glad I saw it, but it kind of hurt the movie, but it was funny.
Patty Jenkins, who directed this movie, like you could see that there was like a Superman, the original Superman kind of influence on it in terms of like, well, like there were like some scenes that were sort of inspired by it, like the part where they're in the alley, her and Steve Trevor, and shot at, and she
blocks
her,
it with her
blocks it like
gauntlet.
Yeah, that was similar to the scene from the first Superman. And
that's cool.
The scene where she's on the island and she's like, you know, using her powers or discovering her powers for the first time. That was kind of similar to how she's like enjoying it and like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like climbing up the tower or whatever it was.
Yeah. So that's cool. I didn't notice those homages at the time. I think I remember the bullet blocking scene now that you mention it. But that's interesting. I was thinking about like the fights in the movie. I think my favorite fight is still that very.
On the island?
Yeah. I think that very first one where the Germans show up in the, it's just Amazon. The Amazons versus Germans, which sounds like late night Cinemax movie. But, I enjoyed that. It was like a Saving Private Ryan moment without blood. It's just like, It was one thing that was slightly disturbing.
Like,
it was just
like PG-13.
Yeah, it's like people are getting shot and stabbed and shot with arrows with not a drop of blood. It's just like, and like this fight is great, but it would be better if you could see blood.
It would improve my viewing experience if I had a big pool of blood.
Not just a pool of blood, like, but you see like somebody get stabbed and there's a quick cutaway. It's kind of like, eh. Like, it's like you can see the hands in the soup. But yeah, that was my favorite fight because like the one woman, Wonder Woman fighting on the front line versus the Germans, that was kind of, that was a little more unbelievable because
that was sort of like the Wonder Woman
reveal.
Moment. So I enjoyed that.
I mean, I liked it once she got into the town, like when she backed him back into the town where she has her Batman versus Superman, like save Martha moment where she's fighting them in this building. I like that part of it, but just like her walking headlong into the the front lines.
Shield.
Yeah, it's just like, why don't they just bomb her? Like, they send one bomb at her and she flicks it away. Like, you just keep going with the bombs. You're wasting all your ammo on this one person. It's clearly not working. But
it wasn't the whole German army.
I mean, it was enough people that they were, like, everybody on the, I don't know, the Allied side in the trenches. I guess they weren't the Allies until World War II. But everybody on, like, the British side in the trenches, they were ducking for cover. They had all their soldiers on the side. So it was at least a squad of maybe, like, 10 to 20 Germans shooting at her, plus snipers and all that stuff. So,
and I'm sure they couldn't concentrate entirely on her because, like, the other soldiers, you know, were attacking them. And then eventually,
I mean, they got distracted enough where, yeah, exactly, Steve Trevor and his guys just basically walked on through and shot everybody up.
People were comparing that Amazon, the island fight to 300. They were saying it was like better 300.
I could see that. This has been such a long time since I've seen 300, but I can picture. I mean, but 300 had the stylized silky blood spray, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's what was missing there. So, like, of all the Zack Snyder-y things that I didn't want to see in this movie, that's one that they could have kept in.
Oh God.
Just like silky blood, yeah, you know, and like leave the gray palette behind. Because I feel like that was kind of a meta joke when she arrives in London. It's just like, this place is hideous. Just like, it looks like Snyder's version of every city on Earth. Just like gray and cloudy constantly.
It was so refreshing to have like a DC movie where there's like some sense of humor and there's some little comedy and some lightness and some sense of fun.
Yeah, and she's the first hero in this universe who actually wants to save people. Like,
exactly.
She literally leaves the comfort of her home because, like, thousands of people could die, or millions. Like, she leaves specifically to save people.
Like, and she, like, realizes, like, at the end that, you know, people may be inherently bad, or there are some things that...
Yeah, you can't just blame it all on Ares, Ilya.
Yeah, so you still like, but you still have to fight for what you believe in.
Yeah.
Do it anyway.
Yeah, so I appreciated the lesson that was learned in there. I feel like it was a clearer lesson than we learned from Man of Steel or Batman versus
Superman. Or any of the fucking movies.
And it was like, it was well conveyed because, like, we got a lot of moments where we actually learned her philosophy, how she felt about the world.
And I just liked how it was just this one story. Like, it wasn't like any.
Yeah, like nobody.
Universe building.
You weren't like hammering any other characters in there.
Shoehorn bullshit.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. But, like, one person on my Facebook live stream yesterday when I was talking about it, saying this gives them hope, this restores their hope for Justice League. I'm like, nah.
It's gonna be a piece
too bad.
Of shit.
Too bad. Like, no, this is restoring my hope for Wonder Woman 2.
Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah. Like, Justice League is still gonna be in that dark, gloomy Snyderverse. So.
Cause think about it, like, she won't be as, like, naive and as fresh anymore because she's been.
Yeah, she's an old, jaded woman now.
Exactly. For what, like 100 years?
Yeah. Yeah, she's been widowed for damn near 100 years, basically. So there's probably, roughened up some of those edges. So, it's funny, with all this time, she never really learned how to work computers either.
What do you mean?
As we see in Batman vs. Superman, she's just like, I need your help opening this, flash drive or whatever.
Encrypted
power.
Yeah. You can't learn everything.
I mean, she had.
Computers have only.
She
been,
had all of time to learn.
Computers have only been around for, you know, what, like the past, what, 30 to 20, 25, 30 years? And,
yeah, but she's been around since the beginning. She should have got in on the ground floor. She has to know
everything.
Yeah, I mean, she's been in this world. She probably was on the ARPANET before it was the internet. So she should have been a little bit more caught up at this point. Maybe she got some lessons from Bruce Wayne since the time of Batman versus Superman.
She has to be an expert at everything.
Yeah, because
fixing cars and, you know, home interior decorating.
I mean, she's got that down pat. You see where she comes from. It's like they're...
It's a museum courier or some museum person, I assume.
I mean, what was the they tried to reboot Wonder Woman, and that version of her was going to be a lawyer by day, Wonder Woman by night. So, you know,
that was a David E. Kelly pilot.
I think it was something like that. It was going to be starring Bobby from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. But
I've never actually had the nerve to actually watch. You can watch the full thing on YouTube, but I've heard it's god awful.
I've seen clips, but it looks like I would have been interested in Bobby. That's how I know her, playing Wonder Woman, but it didn't happen.
Mockingbird.
Yeah. I didn't want to get my hopes up by watching that pilot and getting mournful of the show that never was.
Yeah, you'll feel just like the way the network, the NBC felt. That's why they passed on it.
That's one of those things where it's just like, Amazon has their pilot season where they preview all of their pilots for shows that they're going to do, and they pretty much just do all of them. But that would be the sad thing if they actually had that for real networks, because, you know, there's probably like a 1 out of 10 as far as the ratio of how many of these shows actually get made. So
all the shows, I was like reading an article, like all the shows that premiered in the fall got canceled, like such a small percent of them that are making it for like season 2.
Yeah, because I know that list was just like, wow, this is like every new show, like boop 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 gone.
And it's not gonna change for this fall either, because there's some real shitty looking shows coming out this fall.
You mean Black Lightning?
Like that stupid Sheldon spinoff and the dumbass Zach Braff sitcom, or whole bunch of crime procedurals, I'm sure.
I just feel like that Sheldon thing has to be a joke. It's like, why, like, it's like the main show isn't even over. Like, why would you do this as the show is going? Like, you just want to kill both of them.
I think it's their last season, or it should be their last season, so you gotta keep that money train moving.
I guess, well, enough about TV talk.
You saw the Wonder Woman. Did you see The Mummy?
No, I did not. Did you partake?
Fuck no.
I didn't hear good things, so that's...
I didn't partake at the shit buffet.
Yeah. You know one thing I did watch, and it isn't... What is that?
From that trailer with
the audio. Oh, yeah, the Tom Cruise... Yeah, his epic scream was almost enough to make me go and see it, but
and it wasn't
not
just
quite.
Like the scream. It was like some of the other things, like the when the girl
It's just like if you listen to that audio without seeing the visual, it would have been even worse, because you're just like, what is going on? It's like a terrible gagging prompt. Porno or something, but
stock voices and sound effect.
You know, my favorite, I haven't talked about this on the podcast, but I talk about it at home all the time. My favorite, old movie trope that still gets dragged out is the, that scream.
They call it the Wilhelm scream.
I think that one is actually called the Howie scream. Because I don't know if it's one of the first times, but one time you see it specifically is it Scary Movie? It's some movie where you actually see Howie Long, yell, and that sound effect comes out of his mouth. But the Wilhelm scream is more of the, oh, It's more like it's a shorter one. They use the. I feel like they use that one more often, but it's always funnier when they use the.
What's the goofy scream that he always does in like the Disney cartoons? That.
What?
Yeah.
Something like that. I heard somebody repurpose that in something. I can't remember. Oh, I think it was a video by Double Toasted, and they added sound effects to the a scene from The Mummy, just like how cartoonish it was. And then I think they actually added like Flintstone sound effects, but that was funny.
That movie ate a bomb that came in a second place, well behind Wonder Woman, which came in first place again.
Okay.
So this doesn't bode well for the Dark Universe. Dr. Jekyll's organization of S.H.I.E.L.D. shit. Or
yeah, because like literally, I was watching the review on it. It's just like, okay, so Dr. Jekyll is Nick Fury in this universe, and they're slowly piecing their monster Avengers together. Like, what are they gonna fight when they team up? Just like
one of the chief complaints of this mummy piece of shit that I'm hearing is that it's basically just a setup for the whole universe. It's like
this was
they didn't even bother making a movie. It's just here's this is gonna happen in this next film and all this other shit. And like the Tom Cruise character is supposed to be like really unlikable.
Yeah,
but he'll be important later on.
That part of it makes me slightly more interested though, because I hear he like abandons his love interest at one point. He's just like, peace like, out. Like, he just does the Tom Cruise run away from her.
He's like trying to steal like artifacts, like it's Selimer or some shit like that. That's his whole thing or whatever.
I mean, manifest destiny is a real thing, so it's nice to see a protagonist practicing. Something we can understand and relate to from decades of white people trampling all over Egypt. It makes sense.
And the mummy in the movie, like she needs a man or something to inhabit the.
Oh, she's trying to reincarnate Set, who is like the Egyptian version of Satan or similar character to that.
And people were like, oh, like this is this girl who needs a man in this movie that's coming out at the same time as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's not a good look. And it's funny, this I can't remember the woman's name who plays it, but she's also the chick with the scissor legs and
from Kingsman.
Yeah.
Sophia, I forget her last name.
Botella or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So she's in this, which may not have the best look for women in movies.
I like her.
Yeah, but she's in this, which like is not as progressive, but she's also in Atomic Blonde. She's a love interest for Charlize Theron in Atomic Blonde. So I'm sure that's going to be like a very pro woman movie, a woman empowerment movie. So
and it's not like you can really range. See her face that much because she's got all the makeup and costumes and shit. So that's a plus.
Yeah, but it's funny because my wife was concerned. It's like, is this another white mummy person, white Egyptian? This is like, I showed her a picture of the real woman. It's like, no, she actually is brown. She's from Algeria. It's like the way they make her up in the movie. She looks like a white person playing an Egyptian, because they like paint her all gray. So, you know.
And it was originally like a male, like a guy. That's like the big gender swap.
Yeah, I mean, the mummy traditionally is just like this dude wrapped up in gauze. So is the mummy, like, that's one thing I'm wondering about, because this is supposed to be some kind of weird, bizarro Avengers thing. So is the mummy alive at the end of this, or does she get defeated? What's the deal? Is she just going to join the team?
They all just shit in one big pile. And
then they eat it.
Yeah.
That sounds... Yeah.
That would be more interesting.
That's what it sounds like from all reviews I've heard. It's basically the summary of the movie. Like, everyone needs a pile of shit, and you paid for it. The end.
And like this was like the first movie was supposed to be, what was it, like I Frankenstein? Or
I think so.
Dracula,
and that movie was terrible. Well, yeah, there was actually a few attempts at it. I watched I Frankenstein.
God.
Damn, wait, no, was awesome. It I, Frankenstein, or was it...
That's the one with was it Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, it was just stitches all over his face. yeah, I saw that movie, and it was terrible. It was just... And there's, like, gargoyles and all this kind of stuff, but... Yeah, that one, I guess they scrapped that as far as being part of the universe. I mean, you know, everybody has to have their Incredible Hulk moment. So I guess that was their version of that.
It just feels like the movie, it looks like one of the Brendan Fraser mummy movies, except it has no humor and it takes itself too seriously.
Yeah,
like that's the production of it all just looks like that.
Yeah, plus there's no Scorpion King Rock, and you know that's a critical element of the Mummy franchise. I feel bad for Brendan Fraser, by the way. Yeah, the bad CGI face in the sand.
I feel bad for Brendan Fraser's hairline.
I haven't seen it recently. The last I've seen of Brendan Fraser is his weird thunderclap at whatever awards.
Oh, yeah. that Golden Globe?
I believe so, because that's like, that was their excuse. Like, oh, this is the award show where everybody gets drunk, so don't mind.
Somebody was winning, like, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they said something funny, and they cut to him, and he has a weird-ass reaction.
I mean, you know, Brendan Fraser is a supportive audience member. He's
Encino Man.
He's the anti-Apollo audience. But yeah, so as you could tell, 100% of the hosts on the Frustrated Grad podcast did not see The Mummy this week. But do you know what 50%... Yeah, I saw that screenshot. But do you know what 50% of the Frustrated Grad podcast watched? It was an epic movie in its own right, you could say. Last night,
Captain Underpants.
No, last night I binged watched Trapped in the Closet.
Why?
It's just been in my head all week. Cause like last week I watched the first couple chapters, and then like on YouTube it just has a playlist that it keeps playing, so I had to stop it. But then it was like in my head all week, so I was just like, I need to finish. Because it's been, has it been like 6 years since it originally came out?
R. Kelly and his piss child peeing on antics.
Yeah. I'm surprised that what, like, of all the stuff that was included in Trapped in the Closet, that was the only thing they left out, because there was a guy, a woman cheating on her pastor husband who was also cheating with a man. There was a woman having sex with a midget.
Ronald Isley.
No. But, so it was like everything that was included, midget stripper and all this stuff, peeing was the only thing that was left out.
I heard they were supposed to be like making like a feature length movie or some shit based off of it. That was like last year.
That's the weird thing. Like, cause I hadn't heard anything about Trapped in the Closet since it came out. And then like in the playlist on YouTube, there's like an extra video at the end, because I think the official release, whatever you want to call it, P jokes, but the official Trapped in the Closet was 22 parts, and then there was one that says chapter 23, but it was like a preview for future Trapped in the Closet. And there's also something on there called like Trapped in the Closet Confessions, so I don't know if that's a sequel,
spinoff.
Yeah, it's so I'm probably going to continue down that rabbit hole later after the podcast. But there was like a preview for like future episodes, because it's supposed to be like chapters 23 through 33. But I haven't seen those official chapters anywhere. So
I wonder if it was due to lack of interest.
I'm highly interested, so just start up that Kickstarter, or Kelly.
Find a petition.
Yeah.
Go fund me.
Yeah. Golden fund me, or Pit Starter. You know. But yeah, that's just been stuck in my head all day. Like, and the man is a midget, 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 midget. Just like
R. Kelly is a genius, like you said.
Absolutely, it's just like I could be mad at him for pissing on children when he has music like this.
Voice of an angel.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. I just remember when that originally came out. It was like one of the most exciting things in music history. like it's a new chapter for Trapped in the Closet. Just like, really? I'm trying to think, what network did that end up airing on? Because I think
it was on IFC or
was it
the Sundance or one of them? I think later on. I don't know if it was the original.
Yeah, because I know. I think when it started, because I think the first like the videos, they didn't do all 22 chapters. It was like maybe like 1 through 6 or something like that. Because I think it might have aired like at least in the beginning. Like it was either BET or VH1. I can't remember which one it was, but I didn't realize how crazy it got towards the end. Like there was some parts that were just like this old man, like Rosie the nosy neighbor and her husband fighting. That was just like one whole chapter, pretty much. Just like, really?
I don't think people like watched it because they enjoyed the writing. I just think that people watched it to like laugh at it. Like,
yeah, it was just funny. Like, why does this exist?
Like, what the fuck is?
I feel like it was at its peak of like quality between like episodes 1 and 4.
It was never at its peak at its quality.
Like, I would say chapter 1 is a classic. Like, everybody knows that one. I think, like,
yeah, I turned to side.
And look at her, and she ain't you. It's funny how he's like talking to his woman in that first chapter, but then the perspective changes for all the subsequent chapters. And then like
if you've been a fan of like R. Kelly, like even before that, like you, his music videos, like near the sort of end of his height, he would have
to
those,
be continued.
Like, yeah, exactly. With like the Ronald Isley fucking thing, where he's like, he's talk singing. He's like, he's giving like exposition of like what's happening while he's singing.
Yeah, because then there was like certain parts like in the later chapters of Trapped in the Closet, just like this stuff doesn't rhyme at all. He just like he pulls out a cigarette, he flicks the lighter, he lights it, and then he says, "Just like what?"
Okay, what was the R. Kelly song from back in the day where it was like two parts and like. Was it Down Low or?
It was Down Low, and then the part two was.
Down Low.
Was it just Down Low part two?
Okay, so at the video where it's like at the end, like he's like he gets beaten up and they throw him in like
the
Ronald Isley, Mr. Big, or whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah. I love like that little series. Because also, like, Contagious was. It was related to that series. I don't think it was a direct continuation, but it was like the same idea.
Well, was he like fucking his girl? Or
yeah, like, you're contagious, touch me, baby. And then a man says.
I just remember like in the Down Low part one, where it's like he's all beaten up and he's like, he just collapses or whatever.
Yeah.
When he's singing.
Yeah, I just think like I feel like I wish R. Kelly had went the route of Tyler Perry, because basically if you watch Trapped in the Closet, like where he's playing all these multiple characters, like this is a Madea movie, but it's better.
Like, was the Download video, was that the same one where at the end he's like in the wheelchair in the hospital and it's like that same, like there's like this like sad music. It's playing and he goes to see like his girlfriend that got beat up real bad too.
I think so. Yeah, he's going to the hospital room.
And they're like reviving her and she's like dying.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I mean, he's a genius. That's all he could say.
He's something.
Yeah, I mean, like who... As a music artist, who's giving you these type of like visual movies besides like Michael Jackson? Like,
it's unintentional comedy.
Yeah. It's just classic. That's why I was just like, I couldn't get the story of Trapped in the Closet, the epic miniseries that is Trapped in the Closet, out of my head. Like throughout the day, I'll just find myself like in the kitchen cooking. And I'm just like, the man is a midget.
That's politically incorrect.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that was politically incorrect. There's a lot of homophobia in the song. It's funny because, like, even, like, some of the background stuff, like, you'll hear people, like, because there's, like, this layering. He's telling the story as the narrator, then, like, people in the background will be talking, but it's also R. Kelly's voice. So it's just, like, it was some quality sound mixing as well in that, as far as that production goes. So,
hey,
shout out to R. Kelly.
Have you seen the teaser for Black Panther?
You know, despite my policy of not checking these things out, I had to, because everybody in the world was reacting to it, so I had to check it out. But you know, some people might have a problem that the trailer or the teaser for Black Panther started out with two white people.
How dare they?
Yeah, but I saw it, and it looked awesome. I'm really excited for Black Panther.
Nothing made any sense, but it looked cool.
I mean, that's the purpose of a teaser. That's why I watched it when it's a teaser and not just trailer, because trailers tend to give away too much.
There was some article, I think it was on Gizmodo, where somebody like did like a breakdown.
I hate those.
And I just avoided it. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, if you freeze frame it right here, you can see in the background that this main character is laying there as a corpse.
Wait until the fucking movie comes out.
Yeah, it's just like everybody knew, based on like people like dissecting the Captain America Civil War trailer. It's like, okay, well, Rhodey is clearly not dead because you see him later and he's walking with crutches and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, okay, just let me watch the movie. So I watched that because everybody was reacting to it, so I wanted to hear feedback from people. So what I saw was exciting. I saw a glimpse of Michonne. You see Michael B. Jordan with his like
whatever hair.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. He looked like some character from Doug. I can't remember which one he was specifically.
Skeeter?
Yeah, a little bit. He was a little Skeeter-ish. So that was.
I just want to know who the dude was with the plate in his look.
Oh, I think I missed that one. Yeah, the things that stood out to me was like, okay, there's Michonne. I don't think I actually saw like his tall, statuesque sister who was about to fight with Black Widow. During Captain America. Maybe she's been recast as Michonne because she was standing in that position pretty much. But hopefully she's there somewhere. I'm excited. It's coming soon. That's all I think it tells you.
February 2018.
Okay. Everything good is not happening right now. Give us something to look forward to, Marvel.
That's not true.
I mean, we've got Spider-Man Homecoming and Thor Ragnarok to come. Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
3 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm ready for that.
I read an article that shared like one of the concerns that I have about the movie, and that's there's too much like Tony Stark being pretty much the architect of like Spider-Man and like who he is and his costume and like.
You know, that would be a problem to me if we haven't seen 5 Spider-Man movies prior to this. Mm-mm. And like based on the fact that like, okay, this Spider-Man story has been wrung dry, you kind of have to add elements to it that are not so Spider-Man, as well as thinking
so
about
take away all the things, all the reasons why we like him.
You don't take away the reasons why we like him, but like we've seen that and we've reveled in all of that stuff before.
So now Spider-Man is just Tony Stark's, what is his sidekick or his son or whatever?
I mean, from the perspective of a business person at Marvel, you have to make Spider-Man not as like central a figure in your universe when you don't own him. So you have to kind of subordinate him
That's
to another Avenger. I mean, it's not good, but I feel like Marvel knows what they're doing as far as striking a balance. I think he's going to have fun in his own movie and it's going to be entertaining, but I think it's going to set you up to manage your expectations to be like, well, he's not like going to step to the forefront of this entire universe now because he can't.
I just want him to be in his own movies and like be Spider-Man and like be the most popular Marvel character.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've got 5 movies of that. That's like, we can't reboot him again. Yeah, but we can't reboot him again. We have to do something that hasn't been done, and they're kind of running out of options as far as that's concerned. They've even done Venom before, and they're going to do him again.
Well,
without Spider-Man, possibly.
That's a Sony thing more than a Marvel.
Yeah, but I'm saying they have limited options because they're like, well, Marvel might have had an idea like, well, we want to do a better Venom because they fucked it up. It's like, well, Sony
I don't
still
really give a shit about Venom,
got a lock
so that,
on that.
That doesn't bother me.
I
think that's an overrated element.
I've been interested in Venom at certain points. I really like Carnage based on the game Spider-Man Maximum Carnage from the SNES. But yeah, also Carnage has just debuted in Marvel Contest of Champions for anybody who plays that mobile game. So hard to get those new characters, but he's there if you want to spend 48 hours straight playing the game.
But in like the comics, Marvel's doing yet another event series where it's like, what's like the Venomverse is what they're calling it, where.
Okay.
You get a Venom and you get a Venom.
So everybody, so it's basically like one of those what if stories of like, well, you always wanted to see the symbiote mixed with Wolverine, right? Venerine. It's just like that amalgam universe of DC and Marvel characters. Just like, this has no bearing on anything, but it's just a cool thing that we can do.
Yeah, a cool thing that, adds to the reason nobody's buying Marvel comics.
I mean, that actually would make me buy it. If there's something, if it's like a self-contained thing, there's just some weird tangent story, I might buy that as a trade paperback and read it. Like, because they need to do more.
Something that has no bearings on the entire regular run of the comics.
Well, from the perspective of
event series,
well, from the perspective of the majority of the population who doesn't buy comic books, it would interest us in something that we could buy where we know the beginning and end, because like most people
buy them again.
Yeah, but isn't that better than us never buying anything ever? Because just like, I'm gonna just like, this is my first time buying a comic book. I'm just gonna buy. Yeah, but I'm just going to buy Spider-Man number 56. I don't know what's happened before, and I don't know what's happening after, but I'm just going to jump in anywhere. It's like that. Most people don't look at it that way. I mean, of course, there's dedicated people like you who may go and pick up a new comic every week, but most people don't do that.
Remotely true.
Or you do it a lot more than everybody else in the country.
But that's because like I just happened to start off with like the first issue of.
Yeah, but people are looking for an entry point. So if there's an event series, you at least know the first part of that event is an entry point for that.
The Punisher is only at like number, I think 12 or 11.
Yeah,
isn't that far off from the beginning, from number one?
Yeah, but you know, series like. Like, I don't know, Spider-Man has multiple series, but I'm sure some of those are like in the high double digits, probably.
Yeah.
And then they restart it over again to make
it. I don't buy those.
Yeah, but it's like some people are looking for something that's a one-off thing, just like, oh, now I understand. And maybe some of those people who read that event series, those fair weather people, as you look at them, maybe they'll be interested enough and be like, I'm curious about this Venom person. Where can I find more of his adventures?
Marvel's banking on.
Yeah, so like maybe it works. Diversity clearly didn't work, at least as far as they are concerned.
According to the trolls and racist people on the internet.
No, it was an official person at Marvel who brought that up the first time, wasn't it? Like, well, clearly people don't like diversity. People are buying comics because they're a bunch of fucking racists. Like, sure. That's a way to build goodwill and bring people back to the shop. But yeah.
Speaking of comic book characters, Adam West passed away on Friday, I believe, of leukemia, a short battle with leukemia at the age of 88.
Sad. I mean, 88 it's a good age to get to. Most people don't make it there, but, you know.
It was inevitable.
Yeah.
As it is for all of us.
Yeah, it's everyone. To quote the Grave Diggers, there's no need to cry because we all die. So, just think about that when you're mourning, the late Adam West. I mean, it was good that he got to have a last little thing with that, 60s Batman animated movie.
Which I own.
Which, according to some people, is like the last great appearance of Batman. So, there you go. So that's something to be happy about.
The Caped Crusader.
Yeah, actually a funny, lighthearted look at, this guy who's been murdering people for the past few years. So.
What is your, memories of the original 60s TV show? Did you watch it on the, was it Channel 32 or?
Yeah, I think they were the one. Yeah, Fox, they showed the reruns of it. Yeah, I remember watching that when I was younger, and just how extra, like, sexual Eartha Kitt's Catwoman was. So I appreciated that part of it. I would say Eartha Kitt ranks above Halle Berry in terms of Catwoman. That's for sure.
Oh God, I forgot about that movie.
I never even saw it all the way through, but I watched
barely
the
a movie.
I watched the CinemaSins video about it, which encapsulated it pretty well. Say it again.
It is unwatchable. It is unwatchable.
Yeah, and I hear that it's not even connected to the core Batman universe.
It's a standalone piece of shit. Her name isn't even like Selina Kyle, and like everything's all different. So.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It was a smart decision to separate that onto its own little like shit universe. The
Karen
cat
Stone
shit
is like the bad.
Yeah, she's making like this toxic face cream
makeup
or something. It's like, all right.
Because women wear makeup, and that's a big part of it's women. That's all they care about.
I thought
that
was
looks.
I mean, I thought that was a critical thing that was missing from Wonder Woman. It's like, where's the like makeup subplot? That's supposed to be like a major thing. You should see one of Wonder Woman's main weapons should just be a heavy purse that she swings at her enemies. But, you know, everything can't be included.
I see.
Let me see. Oh, and there was no invisible plane. What's up with that? There
why the hell do you want some corny ass like? I mean, I want the movie to be based in like some sort of reality, but I like having those sort of like, you know, comic booky elements. But that's a little too.
Yeah, I mean, Lasso of Truth is like the height of what we're willing to accept.
Yeah, they did explain it that pretty well, cause that it was a weapon that was made by some thing, mythological
okay
thing.
I mean, there's a lot of like ancient like Greek artifacts and specific weapons like that, so it makes
not
sense
perfect.
And it's funny that like you can fight it, but it compels you to tell the truth.
It hurts you when you glass. I like that.
It's a gentle torture device, I guess you could say. We will make
like
it talk.
nobody believed her when she said that she was going to fight Ares, the god of war, because they all think it's bullshit. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That part could have been left out. The reveal could have been that everyone was right, that Ares is not real and humans are just inherently evil. That would have been a better reveal. It's just like, oh, there's no Ares. I just have to fight everyone.
Gotta have that big fight at the end.
Yeah. He is he's the Red Skull of this, version of First Avenger.
Do you think that was a mistake for them? Do you think that, like, the Red Skull will ever return? Or?
I mean, I've heard rumors about it. I would like him to return because it's just, like, as a character, that's a cool idea.
Captain America's villains kind of suck.
Yeah, like,
you know about them.
I mean, everybody's got, like, scarred up faces, basically. Like, this Red Skull has the Red Skull. Then you got Crossbones, who's all burnt up, and now he's exploded everywhere. I wouldn't mind a revisit of Red Skull. If I don't even know when the next Captain America movie is, but that'd be a cool person to bring back. What else do we have on the docket for this week?
Are you paying attention to any of the news coming out of E3? There hasn't been a lot.
No, I haven't checked out any of it. Yeah. It kind of slipped by me. I've been off work for the past couple of days, so that's where I consume most of my, like, live YouTube updates and stuff like that. So, anything juicy so far?
Well, in the early stages, is it going to be a Star Wars Battlefront 2 game that's coming out? And, I guess there's going to be, like, a story mode, and, like, I know that this is important to you in Madden
sure.
2018.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, I'm all about the hand egg.
The hand egg.
I mean, it is a more appropriate name than football. But yeah, so good for all those Madden fans, like my brother out there. He's all about Madden. Like, he gets into it too. Like, his room was upstairs from me growing up, and all I would hear is like kicking the floor, like turning games. All right.
Touchdown.
Like, all right. We both had our separate game systems, and I play, like, all my little kiddie Nintendo games, where he had his Xbox and PlayStation. And the only time we ever played games together was when we played, like, Tekken. And then he would just beat me mercilessly, and I would get mad and walk away back to my room. And then he would continue playing Madden.
Hey, you never tried to, improve,
like, train?
Your skills?
Yeah. I didn't have the system that had Tekken. Like, it was his game, but that was the only time he would let me play with him. So I couldn't, like, practice by myself and hone my skills. Because it was his system separately. So we were a very divided household.
Clearly. I have two, like, old Madden games from, like, over a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I stopped buying, like, sports games because it's like, it
seemed
it's
like
the
they would
same
be the same
game,
every year.
But the rosters are just, like, updated. It's like, you're just paying, you're paying for something that should be downloadable content. These greedy bastards will force you to pay, like, fucking $60 a year.
I mean, that,
fucking
that I would agree with that critique if I wasn't partaking in the cycle that is WWE 2K at this point.
That's,
like,
that's
literally
the
same
thing. It's the same fucking thing.
Well, at least it's finally comparable in the sense that now they are also made by 2K, and they have, like, the graphics to match all the rest of the games and the face capture and all that stuff. Cause otherwise it was, like, a really crappy version of that, universe. So I at least appreciate the fact that, they've improved the game technically, even though they haven't, like, done anything interesting with it in, probably like a decade now. Cause, like, from the SmackDown versus Raw era to the 2K era, it's pretty much the same, except in certain iterations, they took out features. It's always weird. Like, why does the Inferno match not exist anymore? Like, you could have just patched that straight into the new game. Like, okay, you got rid of that. You got rid of the ability to control your tag team partner in a tag match, which is like, that was an awesome feature, but, you know, for some reason, it has to go away. You know, it is what it is. And, everybody loves DLC also.
All of the Nintendo, stuff and Microsoft and basically they're gonna like announce their stuff like, tomorrow and Tuesday.
Please don't tell me there's another Xbox after I finally got an Xbox One.
There's going to be, it's called Project Scorpio. And basically it's just
Hank Scorpio?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
It's going to be like an Xbox that can basically play 4K, you know, shit. And it's going to be like this.
I don't care about that.
I guess like the last Xbox, like it wasn't, it was supposed to be compatible with like 4K TVs, but it wasn't as good or some shit. I don't have a 4K TV.
Yeah, I haven't been able to test that myself. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, as long as they don't make an iteration that's so different where they have to make games that are just exclusive for this next version, it'll just make the current games look better.
Yeah.
Then everybody can keep playing the same stuff.
Hopefully it's still an Xbox One, I believe.
Okay, good. So it's just a 1S Plus or 1SL or like that's the new thing that everybody's doing, I guess, now based on Apple. It's like we can make small incremental changes and charge them full price. This is the version of the villains from Wonder Woman. Just like, they're paying for another one. You know we're going to have another one in 6 months. They don't know that. But yeah.
This Project Scorpio thing, it's like it can run 4K resolution and virtual reality headsets.
So that's cool. So you'll actually feel like you're in the porn. That's great.
The Xbox One S, it's going to be $50 cheaper starting on Monday. So that was some news.
Well, you know what I say about that? Since I bought one already. More like Xbox One ass. But you know, I'll be all right. I'm finally getting my chat pad. I didn't have one with this bundle that I bought, but I missed it so much. Like the light up chat pad, because like that's like of any kind of device I've used as like a remote for television, the chat pad I feel like is the best one because I don't have to like turn on the lights to see what I'm doing. It just lights up on its own. So
all of the lights.
Yes. All right.
So yeah.
Any other E3 highlights?
I want to mention something completely unrelated.
All right.
I guess this was announced like about 6 weeks ago that McDonald's is going to be phasing out the orange Hi-C.
I heard about that a while ago. I mean, I never really drank it. It is tasty.
I love it.
But I don't drink it that much.
It's the only drink that I get when I go to McDonald's.
Really? I know they got rid of Powerade a while ago, too, didn't they? Or I think it may be certain ones will still have it, but I think the one by me got rid of Powerade.
Why would they get rid of, like, a drink that people like?
It doesn't make sense. What are they replacing it with?
Well, because McDonald's has a deal with Coca-Cola that I think they're only going to have a Coca-Cola like base drinks, so they're gonna replace it with something called Sprite Tropic Berry or some shit.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I mean, they've needed something new in their roster of drinks for a while.
So why are they taking away their most popular drink?
Is it the most popular Hi-C? Really? I would think just basic Coke would be probably like the old standby.
It's like, are these motherfuckers like trying to like go bankrupt?
I mean, one thing I'll say that like to not even pinpoint, McDonald's, but I'll say about, it looks like the entire industry as a whole, the fast food industry, I've tried chicken sandwiches it's been at least four different franchises and I've had this experience with all of them, like Wendy's, Hardee's. I think Hardee's was the first one I got it with. But Wendy's, Hardee's, McDonald's, Burger King, Like, they all have, like, these new artificial chicken breasts that they're using for their sandwiches. And, like, for the most part, I've had it with both. Like, with the grilled chicken at Hardee's, I tasted it, and it tasted like I was biting into, like, you know how you'll get those pieces of gristle, like, in ribs, where it's not quite meat, but it's not quite bone, and it, like, crunches a little bit? That's what I've been experiencing, like, from every fast food restaurant in the past, like, 2 or 3 months.
I get that at McDonald's. I get that. I think it's called the artisan.
Yeah. Chicken. Yeah. Cause they have their barbecue one, their like barbecue bacon, one of those. I had, like, it was really good the first couple times I had it. And then I got it, like, at a certain point I was eating it like 3 times a week. And then I got one where I hit that sweet spot where it's just like crunch, like slightly like gristly in the middle. Just like, what is this? So I don't know if the problem is that it happens when it's undercooked, or is just the texture of this new meat is just really off-putting. And, but like, I've run into it everywhere, even Wendy's, where like for years they've had the best chicken sandwiches and the most realistic tasting chicken. And now they've bought into this, whatever this mutant chicken is that everybody else is using.
The chicken sandwiches at McDonald's, like their premium chicken sandwiches, used to be so fucking good, but now it's like, they keep experimenting with like the buns and like the fucking, like the lettuce and the tomatoes and shit. And it's like, I mean, it's okay, but it's not as good as it was. Cause I'm kind of done with their hamburgers at this fucking.
Yeah. Place. I've been like, I don't even know how many years it's been now. It's probably at least 3 years where I've had no hamburgers across the board. And I'm proud of myself for that. But it's like, now they're taking away my chicken options. So like,
Jesus.
It's weird because like now, like the most recent one of these I had was from Wendy's, where it just got that gristly crunch to it. And now that makes it so their particle board, composite chicken sandwiches for their like dollar menu are better than the premium chicken sandwich.
Those fake ass breast patty.
Yeah, but it's like
real white meat.
Yeah, but like, now those are better than the premium ones, because at least you know that it's blended up and you're not going to hit like a hard spot. Like, it's just really disappointing, because I really liked the new McDonald's chicken sandwiches, and now it's just like, I can't gamble on that anymore. It's like my whole night's run. Like, this sandwich is inedible.
Hey, I've been meaning to get the, Wendy's has this, I think it's like the mozzarella chicken sandwich. It's like mozzarella and something chicken sandwich there that's fairly new. Have you had it yet?
I don't think I have. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think the last one I had was just a basic-ass chicken Asiago club. Yeah, because
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I've been so hungry recently, and I couldn't bear to gamble on any of these chicken sandwiches anymore. So I actually got a legit sub sandwich yesterday from a submarine port out here in South Holland. And it was real turkey. So that was refreshing to have some real meat for once.
Yeah. It's the Wendy's fresh mozzarella chicken sandwich. It all starts with our freshly grilled herb marinated grilled chicken, which is then topped with 3 slices of fresh mozzarella cheese. We then pile on the spring mix, house-made balsamic diced tomatoes, and drizzle on a creamy basil pesto.
They put diced tomatoes on it. That's interesting.
Yeah, all served atop a soft toasted garlic brioche bun.
Brioche, I believe.
Brioche.
Oh. Yeah, brioche.
Gotta be all fancy. Look at this.
La di da. Yeah. So it sounds tasty, but still, those patties, they're It's like a loaded gun. I can't trust it anymore. Like, have you run into any of these, like, gristly type sandwiches?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like the first one I found was the grilled one at Hardee's, because it was a Hardee's that opened up in my area for the first time. And, like, I haven't been able to go to a Hardee's in years. So I was so excited, and I got this grilled sandwich, and it was just like, what's going on here? Like, I thought the problem was that it was undercooked, but it seems like I've had some that tasted like the sandwich was perfect until that last bite, and I ran into that crystal. It's just like, wait, what is this? Like, I don't get it. I'm gonna have to abstain, like, of the very few options I've had at fast food places in recent years by not eating beef. I have even less now.
Sad. Okay, now you haven't gone to Hardee's in years, but have you gone to Carl's Jr.'s?
I've never even seen a Carl's Jr.
Like, it's the same exact
place. Yeah, I know that it's like a Rally's Checkers situation, but like I don't even know where to find one. I only hear about that from people like in California. But it's weird that we have, in my area, we have Rally's and Checkers. Like, for a while, there was a place on Halsted. Well, no, it was on 159th. It was a Rally's. And then, like, a little ways over, they opened a Checkers. But, like, everybody knows they're the exact same. And then eventually the Rally's turned into Checkers as well. So now I don't know what's worse, like, having a Rally's and a Checkers within, like, walking distance from each other, or having two Checkers. Because it's like, the one that was the Rally
tastes the same.
Yeah, the fries are still delicious, but like the Rally's that was the Rally's and now is the Checkers, it's still as greasy as it ever was and as gross. Like, none of their dollar burgers were ever edible, in their chicken sandwiches were even worse. So it's like, what's the point? Like, the
was
only
their
thing,
chicken sandwiches ever grilled?
I don't know if they have any grilled ones. I've only ever had crispy, well, non-crispy. Greasy. They're supposed to be crispy, just like a soggy breaded patty. But the only thing I've ever, in recent years, the only thing I've enjoyed from Checkers has been their BLT, which 90% of Checkers, if you go to them, BLT is no longer on the menu. You just have to ask for it. But
secret menu.
Yeah. I think it still costs just $1, and it's delicious because they pile it on with bacon. So that's my go-to now.
I think that, like, the fast food industry is suffering because there's this, like, healthier eating kick, and, like, all of those, like, reports that you hear about, oh, the food at McDonald's is this, they use this fake meat, and this yeah. hamburger, we let this hamburger sit on this desk for 2 years and it never
looks exactly the same. Yeah.
So now you have, like, the fucking, these, like, corner bakery, Panera Bread type.
Super expensive places. Alternatives.
Exactly. That's how I look at them.
Yeah. It's just like, I get, Panera gift cards from, my job. But, like, even with a $10 gift card, I'm still spending $10 for two people to eat. It's just like, wow, this is
raging.
Like, I can get one meal for $10, maybe, and not even be full. It's just like, this is great.
The Chipotle of it all.
Yeah. I mean, I love Chipotle, even though, like, most of the time it's not warm by the time I get home. If I eat it right in the restaurant, it's usually okay. But, like, by the time I take it home, it's, like, cold.
That's maybe cilantro. It's 'cause it's,
speaking of cilantro, my cilantro in my garden is coming in very healthy.
Almost forgot.
Yeah. I didn't realize, like, I'm used to just buying cilantro at the store and then just see, like, the floppy vines of it. I didn't realize that it grows, like, damn near like a tree. Like, the one I have planted, it's taking firm root, and it's like, it has a center stalk that's, like, really hard. That's what she said. But, like, I don't think it's going anywhere. So I appreciate that. I need to put one of those at my house. Like, just have a big cilantro bush. It's like a dream come true. But yeah, that's my garden update for this week. Everything else is still growing, but there's some mysterious vine that's invaded my box. phrasing. But I don't know what it is, and I don't want to pull it out. Yeah, I don't want to pull it out for the possibility that it's something edible. I want it to grow something before I get rid of it, but maybe I should. It might just wrap around all my other plants and kill them. I don't know exactly how this stuff works.
Strangle them.
Yeah. All right.
I can still get my high C orange at Wendy's and like basically like any place where they have those like newfangled fountain machines where you can like
Yeah, the Coke mix machines. I love those.
I love those.
I just want one of those in my house. Like all I do is push cherry and then I'm just like, okay, what cherry what? I'm just gonna roll the dice. Okay, cherry Dr. Pepper, cherry Coke, cherry 7-Up. Like it's the best.
Yeah. I haven't even like touched the surface of like the possibilities of
I've never been interested in like trying vanilla or anything. Just like it's never really appealed to me. I think they have lime as an option too.
It has to be like fruity, like a fruit drink.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll just do cherry anything. Most of the time it's a cherry Coke, but like it's so many places you don't have the option of getting cherry Coke. It's either Coke or Dr. Pepper. So I like being able to mix it up like that.
Fuck these fountain dispensers that only have like five options. You
damn binary cis beverage.
Nobody
drink fountains.
Nobody wants your fucking mellow yellow or your fucking
no
whatever your fucking Sprite or your fucking what's the one that I keep seeing like fucking raspberry flavored bullshit.
Oh, there's some of them had the raspberry tea.
Sometimes
I'll partake in that. I always love a good brisk. I don't see that on many fountains though, but I do like Lipton brisk.
Brisk, baby.
Yeah. This has been Fast Food Talk on the Frustrated Grad Podcast. This just made me hungry. I think today is Sunday, and for anybody in the South Suburban Chicagoland area, check out the Ultra store on Halsted.
Is it closing down?
Yeah, it's going out of business. And I went in there and racked up.
The one that near where I live in Forest Park, like it started off at like 50% off like a month or so ago.
This like 90, progressively 90% higher discounts.
Last week. I think that it closed probably today or yesterday. Boy, man, we went in there, man. I was finding all kinds of good shit, man.
Yeah, I know if anybody is a fan of Yes Soups, you can really clean up on those.
Yes.
I haven't even tried one yet. My wife thinks they're decent, but we got like 30 cans of it because they were like 60 cents each.
I think we got some Campbell's soup. Like batteries, like some candy.
Oh, you found batteries? That's a score.
They still had like frozen, like frozen food stuff.
I didn't trust it. They had it at mine.
I looked at the dates. You got to look at the dates.
I mean, the dates, of course, but like there was a suspicious smell coming from like the fish section. I was like, they turned off the fridge already. Like, I don't trust.
Of the meat was already gone.
Okay. Ours still had meat up until I think I went Friday, and I think it's closing today. But like that smell really put me off, and everybody was like hovering over the meat section. I was like, nah, you guys partake in that E. coli. Holla at me later. I'll stick with these non-perishables. Thank you very much. Like
Stouffer's frozen dinners and
okay. Well, that type of stuff is pretty reliable, and it's got enough what do you call them?
Preservatives,
yeah, that they're not really real food anyway, so they're pretty secure as far as reheating. So I'm trying to think. Yeah, so we got a bunch of Yes Soups. We got some candy one of the first days, because I think we ended up going there like three different times. But because it was like 50, then 70, then 90%. We got a bunch of cereal the last time. Yeah. I got a good amount of cereal. I've never tried Nature Valley cereal. I just know them as like a granola company, but their cereal's pretty good.
70% off.
Yeah. Cereal's pretty good for a dollar. Like they have a bunch of chocolate cereals, which is like, that's one of my favorite types of cereal. Not like Cocoa Puffs or anything like that. I like when there's like hearty wheat cereals with chocolate or chocolate shredded wheat or whatever. So I got a bunch of those. And,
the only thing that I regret was all of the liquor was gone. They had some cheap wine, but they got all the
beer. Oh, I don't want to. Maybe I won't disclose the person's race, but it was a guy in front of me in line who's just buying like crates and crates of wine, and I'm pretty sure he's
barefoot wine. Where the fuck it's called?
I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure it was like $100-something of wine, but I'm sure it was. The regular price would have been like triple that, but like I'm sure he's going to take it to his own business and resell it. But that's all I'll say about that.
Good for him. That's America, right?
Yeah, it's the American dream. But yeah. So anybody who's a deep diver going out of business sales, then this might be something to partake in. It was really like, it was almost Black Friday levels of like elbowing your way through aisles at certain parts. It's just like any personal hygiene products, good luck. Don't even try to go down those aisles. It's just like, okay, nobody's in a soup aisle. Let me get 10 more. I'll circle back around if this clears up. Yeah, so it's something to look out for.
Are you near like any of the Sears they had announced like a list of like Sears stores that were closing? Are you near?
There used to be one in River Oaks, but it's been gone for like, I don't know, it's been close to a decade now. So I would have to travel to get to another Sears store. I mean, even all the Kmarts around me were closed. Like
the Kmart, yeah, the Kmart in Forest Park Terrace is gone.
Yeah, because like Super Kmart, which was in Homewood, used to be like the place to be when I was like in high school or younger. It's just like it was the only place that was open 24 hours. Like the first place in our entire area that was open 24 hours. So it's like you would go there, like in high school, I would go there with friends and just buy random shit. And I would see other people from my school like, yeah, you're here because it's the only place to be. It's just like Walmart in some small towns. It's like the mall to them. They just go and hang out.
And because it was like a Super Kmart, I assume they had like a little, their little restaurant or fast food place.
Yeah, they had it. I think it was when I got older, they had that restaurant. I never really ate there. I just would go and in the middle of the night and buy food. Yeah, just buy random stuff or buy their big giant 3-liter sodas. But yeah.
Oh damn, I completely forgot about three liter so.
I mean, if you go to like the dollar store, you can still find them sometimes. Like I think Shasta.
Sam's Club or some shit.
Yeah.
Costco.
You get a 3-liter Shasta or what do they
call it?
Mr. Pibb.
I just remember like a big ass fucking cap and you had to twist off.
Yeah. Now I need to experiment with that too because I have a Soda Stream now and I only have the like generic Dr. Pepper flavor, but it's like super sweet. I don't know if I'm mixing it wrong or what, but I need to try some of those other flavors. I want a Shasta, whatever their generic Dr. Pepper-ish drink. Because that was close enough. So something more like that would be better.
Do you drink Dr. Pepper?
It's like one of my main go-tos. Like when I go to McDonald's, I don't get a Coke. I get a Dr. Pepper, no ice.
You're a unique bird.
Dr. Pepper, I feel like it's pretty popular. I mean, I see more commercials for Dr. Pepper than I see for straight up Coke or Pepsi.
I see more commercials for fucking Mountain Dew than I see for Coke.
Oh, yeah, Mountain Dew is absolutely horrible. Isn't that the one? Aren't they the culprits behind the puppy monkey baby?
Yeah.
The abomination.
That sounds like them.
Yeah, puppy monkey baby. And then they have the other ones where it's just like people crumping, because, you know, that's a relevant dance to do in 2016 or whatever the time when they put that commercial out.
Their affiliation with Taco Bell is known worldwide.
I mean, those mixed drinks they do, like the blue and green types of drinks, they seem appetizing, but I never end up getting a meal. I just get like a bunch of the like dollar cheese quesadilla things.
So never... What edible or drinkable beverage do you know that's the color blue?
That naturally, I mean, there's no naturally occurring food of any kind that is blue. So that, of course, that's neon a trick question. Yeah, I mean, you'll find green in nature. Neon is more rare occurrence, but toxic waste green is a special breed.
Bright yellow nacho cheese.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. But yeah, if there's no more food talk, you have anything else before we wrap up for this week?
That's all I got.
Yeah. So with that, I will say we can wrap up, and you can let people know where they can tweet at you their favorite places to consume processed goods. Whether it be fake cheese, fake meat, hand separated artificial chicken that is then reassembled into patty form, where can they tweet at you about all that stuff?
Tweet at me at Anthony Hoffman. You can find me on Facebook, Anthony Hoffman. Or you can find me on Instagram, Tony Hoffman Shy, Tony Hoffman CHI.
All right. And I am on the Twitter at, I changed my name. It's Zach Reviews, ZAC Reviews, because, you know, it's my prerogative to change.
It's my prerogative.
I'm on YouTube at YouTube.com/ZachHughes and Facebook.com/ZachHughes, both ways spelled Z-A-C Hughes. You can find the podcast on Twitter at FrustratedGrad, on YouTube at YouTube.com/FrustratedGrads, and check out the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, Player.fm, and wherever podcasts are sold. So also, if you like the show, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Go to YouTube and comment and give us a thumbs up. And if you really like what we're doing on here, go to frustratedgrad.com and donate using the PayPal button. So with that, I will say that is it for this episode of the Frustrated Grad podcast. Thanks for watching. And hopefully while you were watching this on YouTube or other video platforms, you enjoyed a tasty burger. And thanks for listening. And that's all you get for today. Now that's a tasty burger. It's officially the audio exclusive bonus time. Do they speak English in what? All right. So what is the title? Ooh, we were kind of food heavy today, which I enjoyed. Made me hungry, but.
As did I.
I feel like this is like the Hangry Grad podcast. I'm trying to think what would be the a good title, though. Fake foods,
grilled chicken, chicken patty,
gristly chicken, gristle while you work. I'm trying to think, is there anything where like Wonder Woman and chicken breasts. Is there some kind of crayon words there? There's something there. Wonder Woman's breasts and thighs. Mummies, cummies, and dummies. Somebody should have picked up on that with it. Like, somebody's job to monitor those type of things. I should think. WWE3 and KFC. No.
E3 and KFC.
We didn't talk about KFC at all. Though. I'm trying to think of what's another fast food place that would work in that scenario.
High C and E3.
E3 and High C, or High C and E3. Which one? E3 is the most relevant, I would say. I mean, you might think High C is, but E3 and High C. Although those, in the grand scheme of things, there are minor parts of the podcast, but they're definitely parts. E3 and High C, I don't mind that too.
Sure.
So you can tweet at us with the hashtag E3HiC or whatever you found interesting. Maybe you want to hashtag Wonder Woman breasts and thighs or whatever else floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat from the gray Zack Snyderverse into beautiful, bright Themyscira. I just love that barrier that they crossed, and it immediately is bright and sunny on the other side. It's just like, that's
I wonder if she did that on purpose.
I think so. That's why I was like, it's like a meta joke. It's just like, we are not in the Snyderverse anymore. There's actually sunlight and colors. But yeah. So tweet at us at FrustratedGrad and let us know what you thought of the show. So with that, I would say that is it for this edition of the Frustrated Grad podcast, video and audio version. Thank you for you audio listeners for hanging in there, staying strong, and keep on rocking in the free world.